To innest and rest. Into this moment. And you might even begin with a few slightly deeper breaths. Maybe even a few sighs. Sound can be a beautiful way of releasing tension in the body or in the mind or in the heart. With each exhalation, inviting a resting, a releasing, relaxation is such an important ingredient in our practice. A measure of ease can support more mindful, less reactive presence in the moment. So we often begin any practice with breath and with body. So letting the breath be natural, easeful, without any unnecessary efforting. And letting the warm sunbeam of your awareness sweep through the body, slowly and steadily, maybe beginning at the crown of the head and working your way gently downward. Bringing extra kind attention to any places that can be reservoirs of tension or tightness. The eyes, relaxing through the jaw and the throat. And softening through the shoulders. Letting arms and hands be heavy. Palms soft and open. Relaxing through the belly. And the back. While we want to enlist the strength and stability of the spine by sitting upright, we also want to invite the muscles of the back body to hang on that skeleton so that there is a measure of ease, a loosening, a lengthening through the back. So we let the skeleton do the work and we let the muscles rest. And letting go of any bracing in the legs or the lower body. Relaxing through the soles of the feet. Letting them rest on the earth. Letting the body be held by the chair or the cushion or the floor. It's as if we're resting the body on the earth. And then we rest the mind, we rest our attention on the body. Inviting that last and perhaps sometimes most contracted muscle in the body, the thinking muscle, inviting the thinking muscle to relax and soften and begin to settle. And just allowing yourself just these few minutes here to land in this moment by landing in a felt sense of the body. You might rest into a felt sense of the body as a whole, Or maybe it's the felt sense of the breath moving through the body that feels like the most easeful place to place your awareness. Just letting yourself come home again and again to this felt sense of body or breath. Body and breath can be a still point amidst the thought storms that can swirl through the mind. We can come home to the slowness, the solidity, stability, groundedness of the body. the body is always ever here. No matter what's going on internally or externally, it's a little bit like a mountain that's present through all forms of weather. The mountain remains whether skies are bright and clear or dark and stormy, whether the view is obscured by fog or smoke. There's an enduring, stable, steady quality to both the earth body and our human body. And as a way of gently exploring how we might harness or bring forward some of this steadiness, stability, groundedness, into the swirls of life. I invite you, if you wish, to call to mind some place in your life right now, something in your life right now that feels like it's knocking you a little bit off balance. And there might be a lot to choose from, and as a kindness to yourself, I would invite you to not necessarily choose the most destabilizing thing in your life. If you can, you know, to choose something that's modestly unbalancing. Maybe it's a tension in a relationship that you're in, or a particular difficult conversation or communication exchange. Maybe it's something related to your health. Maybe it's some element of the current political or social or environmental climate that is upsetting or stressful. And touching in to this situation or experience, maybe thinking about it just a little bit, but not getting lost in all the details of the story. It's really calling this experience to mind so that you can start to feel the impact in your body. Maybe you can really start to feel that sense of destabilization, tension, or stress, agitation, or worry, anger, fear that gets evoked. And seeing if you can tune in to how that reverberates through your body. And you might see, even as this discomfort might be noticeable in the body, can you also in any way connect with the breath? Or connect with a sense of your feet on the earth? Seeing if it's possible to touch into the grounded nature that also resides in your body. And an additional way of inviting in a quality of balance or perspective, more ease or peace, is the use of a gentle phrase that conveys an energy of acceptance, even welcome. Something like, oh, it's like this. So as you're sitting with this experience that's destabilizing or unsettling, trying on what it's like to use one of the following phrases or expressions that I'll offer as a sample. It's like this. Things are as they are. This belongs. Sometimes, as we start to open to experiences that are difficult what can happen is there's a tumbling forward of multiple experiences. So sometimes a phrase like, oh, this too. This too. And each time something new pops up, oh, and this. And this. Sometimes simply saying yes. Yes. And oftentimes what's difficult for us, what knocks us off balance, has to do with something happening in a relationship or something happening to someone that we care about. We see them making choices we don't agree with or we worry about. And so phrases like, all beings have their own journey. This is yours. Or, may I open my heart to your journey just as it is. Or I care about your journey, but I can't control it. So just noticing how these phrases reverberate through your body, how they impact. You in this moment, what effect it has on how this life experience impacts you. And then taking a slightly deeper breath and with the exhalation, letting go of any focus on this event and coming home fully to a felt sense of body or breath. Letting your experience be just as it is. Letting yourself be just as you are, just for now. So, this topic of equanimity, it's sometimes this word that I think for some people feels like intimidating or inaccessible, especially in these complicated times. But I really love you know, that it comes here at the culmination of this list, because equanimity actually appears in many of the lists in Buddhist and meditative teachings, and it's a traveling companion for many of these groups of wholesome qualities. So it has all these friends, you know, that are already here in the pack with it. You know, it's built on and it's supported by all of the qualities we've already talked about. You know, the qualities that are related to how we interact with the world, generosity and non-harming behavior, that there's a measure of simplicity in how we're living our lives, and that renunciation of giving up the struggle with fighting with the way things are, and the wisdom of seeing, like, oh, where am I caught? Where am I caught in the mind? And can I come back into my direct lived experience? And finding a measure of ease, like, what's right effort, so that this isn't, I'm trying to find equanimity. You know, we can't force equanimity, but we often can unfurl into equanimity. And having the patience with ourselves as we let go. You know, as we let things be, and when we talked about truth, this sense of, oh, the truth of clear, courageous seeing, it's like this, it's just like this, and the quality of devotion, you know, resolve, it's like, where do I want to stand? Do I want to stand, you know, in the center of it all with patience and kindness? Or do I want to let myself be blown all over the place? So we find our stand, and equanimity is often, in my experience, it's often the ripening or the fruition of all these other qualities we've been working on. It's almost like equanimity is the arising or the byproduct. It can be cultivated, but it's almost like just the gift. You know, you tend your garden, and some years you get a really great harvest, and then it's like, oh, there's that sweet cherry tomato, right? You can't make it happen, but you can water, you can fertilize, you can protect your plants from frost, you can sort of do all those things right. And then, ah, here's this beautiful gift that grew in its own good time. And in many ways, that's how I've tasted equanimity. It's like, if I just do my practice and bring in more awareness of equanimity, I notice it when it's there. And some of you heard me share this phrase on Monday. There's a teacher, Kamala Harris, Kamala Masters. I was like, Kamala Harris, I know that name, but wrong name, Kamala Masters, who teaches on equanimity quite a bit, and she's adapted a phrase from Howard Thurman, who is an African-American theologian and activist. And he talks about quiet eyes. He has this beautiful phrase of quiet eyes. And Kamala Masters talks about equanimity is like viewing the world with soft eyes. You know, it's this sort of soft resting back, gentle receiving of what is without a lot of struggle. And there's a real quiet quality of ease and relaxation in equanimity. It's a calmer, more rested heart. And it's really important to know that equanimity is not detachment. Sometimes, you know, there's this sense that equanimity is about like, oh, I'm just going to let go of it all and not be bothered. In this way that steps out of life. And actually, equanimity really is more about standing in the eye of the storm and witnessing life and being right there so that we can reach out and connect. We can engage. We can respond. So it's a non-reactive presence. But the emphasis is on the word presence. It's on the quality of presence. We are very much here, but here in a balanced, compassionate way. And in terms of cultivating equanimity, there's many different ways. And in that practice, I offered two. And these are two that I've worked with a lot over the years and have found helpful. They're not the only ways, but one is using the wisdom of the body. You know, we do so much work with body in our practice, and then also with mind and heart, and we practice internally and externally. And what is true and what can be known the more you practice is that the body is often relatively simpler, slower, more steady, and more stable than the rest of it all. You know, it's the mind is fast and fickle and fleeting, and it, you know, it is all over the place in past and future, and it's often agitated. And even when there's a lot going on in the body, it's much more workable. So if you have a connection already with the body in your practice, if you have a connection with a sense of grounding in the body or the familiarity of the breath as a stable landing place, that can be really helpful as a way of touching in to a quality of equanimity. It's not so different than probably moments you've already experienced in your practice, and you might just not have labeled it that way. I sort of snuck in another practice that's often done is like the mountain meditation. And those of us who live here in Colorado, we often feel a real resonance with mountains as something stable, steady, enduring. You know, they wear down over time, but, you know, there is this resilience that's represented in that image or that energy. So sometimes more explicitly, even as you're working with body practices, kind of feeling your own earth body, that earth quality of resilience, groundedness, stability, no matter what the weather is. Internally, externally, politically, socially, it's like this mountain of this body or of this earth has a quality of persistence, the long view, the geological history of humanity. And then the other way that I invited you to try out is the use of a simple phrase. And over time, many people find one or two phrases that have a flavor of equanimity, balance, perspective for them. And it typically is a phrase that has a quality of acceptance, clear seeing, welcome. It's something that reminds us to drop the struggle. So it's like this. Oh, and this. Or the simplicity of yes. You know, often one of the fastest paths to no equanimity is all the ways we say no. No to life. It shouldn't be like this. I don't like this. When is it going to change? You know, we could feel the tension and agitation in no. So even simply exploring saying yes can be a powerful practice. And then, you know, I often have a phrase in my back pocket that's for those moments when my suffering is because I'm not only am I trying to control my own mind and my own life, I'm now trying to control all those people I care about and watching them, you know, make what I feel like is unfortunate choices, you know, whether it's a politician or whether it's, you know, a dear friend. And really recognizing that, you know, I care, you know, one of my phrases that I've worked with over the years and modified from other phrases was, I care about your journey and I can't control it, you know, or everybody's got their own journey and this is yours. So it's like, I don't have to put down my care. And I don't have to pick up the burden of responsibility of trying to run your life. So those are some of the ways that we can work with and explore equanimity. And it is our natural state of mind and heart when things settle. It's a little bit like if we have a jar of mud and we shake it up, we can't actually, you know, molecule by molecule, you know, get that mud out of there. But if we actually set that jar still and leave it alone for a day or even an hour, what happens? The mud starts to settle out and the water clears. And that's really what our minds and hearts are like. And so equanimity in many ways is like not messing with things so much. So that's our final heart quality, and I would love to gift you all a little time in breakout groups to talk with each other and reflect, you know, what's your relationship with equanimity? How have you been able to access it? What gets in the way? And to just see what comes up for you, and We'll have maybe, you know, 5 or 7 minutes and then come back. We'll come back and have a few final minutes together. So enjoy each other's good company. Okay, I am going to go back. Hi, Julie. Hi, Gabriela. You guys popped back early, and many people take every second. Oh, Gabriella, you're muted, my dear. There you go. Let's see. I can send you a message. I don't know why it's not letting you unmute. Oh, there you go. You're unmuted now. Yeah, so it's like this. It's like this. So I'll just check briefly and see if there's anything that wants to be shared before I share a final little poem on equanimity. Ellen. I'm so glad the universe is being very generous with opportunities to practice equanimity right now. So we're all gonna get a lot of opportunity. And so see, here it is. It's like this. So maybe I'll just close with this short it's actually a short reading from Christiana Wolf entitled Equanimity, and I think it really speaks to some of the gifts that equanimity brings to us. She says, "Equanimity is the inner stance to be willing and able to accept things as they are in this moment, regardless of whether they are challenging or boring, exciting, or exactly what we wanted. It brings calmness and balance towards moments of joy as well as difficulty. It protects from an emotional overreaction and allows us to rest in a bigger perspective. Equanimity often comes with a joyful inner stillness and contentment, regardless of how life presents itself in this particular time. It's like the eye of the storm, the mature oak tree, the calm center, which is grounded in the deep knowledge that everything is constantly changing and that so much is truly out of our control." Yeah. So may you find and return to your inner mountain or your mature oak tree or whatever image works for you, and may it help hold you steady in whatever comes day by day by day in these turbulent times. Take such good care. I'll see you next week. Okay. Bye.